Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn on this 27th of September 2015 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. Busy Sunday program. So we begin with the Amazings, the New York Mets, who clinched their first division title. This is the first division title since 2006, and really, you know, despite the fact that they were the second choice to come out of that division, but they were almost the second choice by default. Like Miami and Atlanta were just god-awful, and people say, well, somebody's got to finish second behind the Nationals. Well, you know what? Let's go with the Mets. So no one, and I mean no one, expected the Mets to be in this position. They are clearly, to me, a year ahead of schedule. Everybody had the Nationals not only winning the division, but everybody had the Nationals winning the World Series, or going to the World Series. Like, the Nationals were 5-1 to win it all, and were the outright clear favorites to get to the World Series. And you know, we know what has transpired with that. Listen, Mets fans deserve this. Over the last course of the last 9 years, ever since Carlos Beltran struck out against Adam Wainwright in that Game 7 in New York, it has been an embarrassment for the Mets as a franchise. One bad free agent after another. The whole Ponzi off the field situation with the whole Ponzi scheme, and you know, which has hurt them financially as far as being able to spend money on free agents. With their payrolls, which has affected their payroll. So, but there, you know, there's been one thing after another over the course of the Mets over the course of the last 9-10 years. And, you know, even though I'm not a Mets fan per se, you have to be happy for that franchise, considering the last decade. And now, you know, you're going to have the Mets and the Yankees probably in the postseason. It's a matter of time before the Yankees clinch that first wild card. They are in control of that. It was going to be great for New York baseball. I mean, they have both of those teams in it. I don't know how far they can go, but when you have the pitching that they have in terms of the Mets, you always have a chance. The good news for them is they're not going to go through the big three of the National League in St. Louis, Pittsburgh, or in Chicago. Only have to go through one of those teams to get to the World Series. Two of those teams are going to knock each other out, and they'll probably, you know, face the winner of, you know, depending on what happens with Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Chicago in the wild card and divisional round. So the Mets are looking at a matchup with the Los Angeles Dodgers, which is certainly a winnable matchup, a winnable series. I mean, the Dodgers, we know the Dodgers have the two great pitchers at the top in Greinke and Kershaw, but they haven't done anything in the postseason that warrants any type of respect or thinking that they can go far. I mean, Dodgers, like, this is what the Dodgers do. The Dodgers win a division and choke in the playoffs or get eliminated in the playoffs. So hats off to the Mets. You look at this postseason, look at some of these teams that are going to be in the postseason, Mets, Toronto, and the Chicago Cubs. Two of those teams, you know, Toronto will be in the postseason for the first time since 1993. I think Toronto is the most, from top to bottom, I think Toronto is the most talented team in baseball. And right now would be my team's choice to get to the World Series. And you look at Chicago, of course, Joe Maddon has done a, should be manager of the year, in my opinion. What he's done with that team in such a short period of time is just amazing, to say the least. Turning a perennial losing culture into a juggernaut in 1 year. I thought it would take at least 2 to 3 years, even with the influx of young talent and prospects that they have. But the combination of he and Theo Epstein have worked wonders with that organization, with that franchise, to get rid of that lovable loser label. I mean, they are no longer lovable losers. The Cubs are going to be a team that's going to be around for a long, long time. And he has, we saw what Maddon did with the Tampa Bay Rays. He has three times the resources with Chicago. They're going to be around for a long time, for years to come. So, should be a exciting postseason. We'll talk more about it over the course of the program, but postseason cannot get here soon enough. If you're a baseball fan, it will be here October 7th. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back with today's headlines. Call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Today's headlines, Sunday's headlines. Evan Murray, a three-sport high school star, superstar, passed away, of course, tragically passed away Friday night after taking a couple of hits in a football game out in Washington Township, New Jersey, Warren Hills Regional High School. Murray, again, was a three-sport star at the school, honor student, and, you know, they said that he, you know, they're still trying to figure out, like, how he, you know, the cause of death. That is yet to be determined, of course. Certainly that will come out in the next couple of days with the autopsy. But apparently, you know, he took a hit, was carried off the field, but still gave a thumbs up, and later would collapse and pass away. And this has become recurring in terms of in high school football, because this is at least the third athlete that has passed away in the last couple of months due to a on the field injury during a game. You know, if like there was a time you had a kid from Louisiana and a kid from Oklahoma, earlier this summer passing away because of a hit. There was a time where I wouldn't even think twice, you know, if I had a kid, if I had, you know, had children, to allow them to play football if they chose to. That, is out the window at this point. It's just, I mean, there's no guaranteed safety with football, but when you see, I mean, getting hurt is one thing. Like, injuries are, you know, you can get injured in a car accident. Like, that can happen at any time. You know, slip on ice and break your neck, break your leg or something like that. But so that's, you know, it's not a fear of that. But, you know, when you hear about players just dying after taking hits in a game, you wonder, was this a cause of accumulation of hits? It makes you wonder about what is the concussion protocol in high school football? Like, we know what it is in the NFL. We know what it even is in college. What is it in high school football? Or do they? I mean, I would have to assume they have a concussion program. But I'm thinking, because what I'm thinking that these hits, like, are not, it's not just the one hit that's killing, you know, that's killing players. It's an accumulation of something, like maybe they're missing concussions. Maybe guys are having concussions, and, you know, it hasn't been reported, or a player just, you know, is not, you know, telling their coach, you know, that the whole old school routine. Hey, got a headache. I'm good to go. Don't want to lose your spot. Things of that nature. I mean, you know, boys, men have a lot of pride. They're not going to tell somebody when they're hurt unless they just can't just physically function. So, again, the high school concussion protocol needs to be revisited without question, because, again, one hit should not kill a player. Like, that shouldn't happen. I mean, we haven't, again, think about it. I mean, high school football in compared to the NFL, I mean, it's nowhere, not even close as far as physicality. I mean, you're talking about grown men, and we haven't seen any players in the NFL die on the field because of a hit. I mean, we've seen guys pass away after their careers are over because of CTE or seemingly concussion-like symptoms and things of that nature, but we haven't seen a player die on the field because of a hit in the NFL. So that would make you wonder about what's going on with high school football in regards to these concussions and blows to the head. Jordan Spieth is one up in the end of the year tour championship. If he wins it, he'll get a $10 million bonus. Spieth, who, you know, despite some struggles in the past couple of weeks, the past month, still probably will get PGA Tour Golfer of the Year, has won and deserves it. The guy has been top four, you know, won two majors and was basically top three, top four in all four majors. So I know Jason Day currently right now is ranked number one in the world, but Jordan Spieth has been the best golfer in 2015. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. When we return, we'll talk about Redskins, and we'll get into some college football as well and much, much more on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. 15 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. The Washington Redskins, of course, go down on Thursday night 31-32-21 in a game that was basically defined at the beginning with the safety. And, you know, that's just a bad omen in football. The team starts off, go ask the Denver Broncos a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. The team starts off giving up a safety. Things are not going to go well. It's just, I know it's only 2 points, but it's just like, it's just something about a safety starting off the game, giving up a safety that just, it leads me to believe that it's just not going to be your night. And certainly it was not the Washington Redskins night, slopping it, you know, penalties, turnovers, two interceptions by Kirk Cousins, which were killer interceptions. And, you know, I really thought at 18, even despite the fact that the Redskins were down 18-6, if they go in and get a touchdown there to make it either 18-14 or 18-15, that they would have a legit chance to possibly to win that game. That, you know, the second interception, first, both were bad interceptions. The second one was horrible, considering that, you know, you have a guy draped all over the receiver and you try to force a pass in there that had no chance of being completed. And this has been a habit with Kirk Cousins over the course of his career, that he forces these passes that have just no chance. They have no chance. And, again, Kirk Cousins is who Kirk Cousins is. He's been awful against the Giants with 2 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 0-3 lifetime. But if you're watching Redskins, again, you as a team have very little room for error. The Redskins are not going to overwhelm anyone with off pure talent. They can't have bad penalties that take them out of, you know, that take them out of field goal range or kill their drives, and they can't turn over the ball. I mean, it's all there is to it. They are not good enough to overcome some of the mistakes that they made. On Thursday night, the Giants. You know, listen, you were going to face a desperate. I only think the Giants were great. I really don't think the Giants were that good on Thursday. I just think they took advantage of some Redskin miscues, some sloppiness. The crowd, I mean, the crowd wasn't raucous. It wasn't I think the Giants fans know that their team is not that good, to be honest with you. And that the expectation level of the Giants is not where it has been in past years. So definitely could have been a winnable game for the Redskins. But as expected, I thought that, you know, they go down to New York. And even when the Redskins were good, you know, in Joe Gibbs' first 10 years, the Redskins always struggled with the Giants, especially at Giants Stadium, in New Jersey. This is one of those places that frankly has been a house of horrors for the Washington Redskins. Now the Redskins will embark on this 3-game trip. These 3 tough games where you have, you know, home to Philly, at Atlanta, at the Jets. Those will be 3 tough games. Philly always gives them problems, and Philly, who knows, Philly could come in 0-3 and extremely desperate for a win. Divisional game. Atlanta's playing well right now. And the Jets are playing extremely well, as we all know, with their defense and running game. So it does not get any easier for the Washington Redskins, but they should be well rested coming off a Thursday game. They should get back DeSean Jackson, which they need in the worst way, because they have nobody right now that's stretching the defense beyond 10 yards, to be honest with you, which makes them very easy to defend. They need DeSean Jackson back in order to stress the defense. But, a tough game to lose in a division on the road, but the most frustrating part about it is you didn't even put pressure on the Giants in the fourth quarter. You know, all you can ask for in that situation is just put pressure on the home team, the team that's 0-2, and see how they respond to it. Redskins basically took the Giants off the hook by not putting any, you know, they're down 25-6. You're not going to come back and win that game. So, you know, is all there is to it. So the Redskins didn't even put any game pressure on the Giants, really took them off the hook from that standpoint. And that probably was the most disappointing part of that game. 347-215-6180 is a call number on this latest edition of 12 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. When we return, we'll talk college football, and much, much more. NFL picks are still to come, and much, much more in this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number in this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Couple of things here. You can always rate and review the show at iTunes.apple.com and look up 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. As always, we prefer 5 stars, but you know, you might want to just give us 1 star or 3 stars or 4 stars. Either way, go to iTunes.apple.com and 1211 and look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Also, we did an NFL preview, not NFL preview show, but an NFL Week 2 review show on Wednesday featuring Rob Sapp and Chad Quinn. So you can check that out. That was taking place. That was the 9:20. That was 9:23 show, the Wednesday show. So check that show out. Had a lot of fun with that. Talked a lot, you know, and a lot of NFL, some entertainment, some Emmys. So check the repod, check the archives out for that particular program. Have another one coming probably not this week, but the following week. We'll do them bi-weekly, bi-weekly. So fantasy football, NFL talk, pop culture talk, we will have it all on that particular program. So certainly check that out. The thing I love about this college football season is even in a week where you think that it's going to be a get me over, move on to the next week type deal, you have some games that just, you know, blow you away. I mean, this week you are looking forward to next week, as far as, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson. Instead, you got a classic in Lubbock with Texas Tech almost shocking TCU, and TCU is just going to play in a lot. Like, TCU is going to play in a lot of these games where it's going to be just wild because their offense right now is virtually unstoppable, but their defense isn't any good. Like, this is not a classic vintage TCU defense by any stretch of imagination. So they're going to play in a bunch of these games where it's just going, they're going to go up and down the field. against teams, but teams that are on me are also going to be able to put points on them as well. So they get by Texas Tech on basically a last second touchdown pass. Couple of blowouts, and on the West Coast, USC, UCLA, and Utah all took care of business on the West Coast. You see USC rebounded from that loss last week. You see Utah shocking Oregon 62-20. I didn't see that coming. I thought Utah could beat them, but they did not just destroy them like the way they did. And of course, UCLA toys with Arizona. That's this guy Rosen is making everybody forget about Brett Hundley. I mean, he's been tremendous and should be considered taken into consideration for the Heisman. I mean, that guy just played great so far. The thing that jumped out at me overall about the college football this season, I mean not season, but day yesterday was Michigan. Michigan, who everybody said, was 3 to 4 years away and weren't going to be any good this year. Now all of a sudden they are, I believe, 3-1, should be ranked after that performance against BYU, which came in playing well, and albeit two miracle finishes on last second touchdown passes, but still BYU is a solid football team, and Michigan just had their way with them. I mean, you could see already the Jim Harbaugh effect and what this guy does when he gets to losing situations. I mean, the team, he has, in essence, the same players that Brady Hoke had last year. I mean, these are not new recruits. He's not getting superstar transfers. I know the quarterback's a transfer, but like that quarterback was not on the who's list of all Americans, trust me. And will not be playing in the NFL. I can guarantee you that. But this is what Jim Harbaugh does. I mean, he changes the culture, changes the attitude. And Michigan, I'm telling you right now, Michigan is coming. Now this year, they'll go to a solid bowl game. I don't even think it'll be a New Year's Day bowl. But Michigan could be a top 10, top 15 team next year easily. Like, they are not that far away with Jim Harbaugh coaching again. That guy, say what you want about him. You can talk about it's crazy. Talk about how he's crazy. And that guy can coach with anybody. So that was a great, impressive win. Impressive win for Michigan, 31-0 over BYU. But, next week is the big week, one of the defining weeks of the college football season. You'll have two games that have national championship implications in it, playoff implications. Alabama, Georgia. Alabama could be done next week if they lose. That'll be a second loss. And then you'll have Notre Dame, Clemson, which in essence could be, an elimination game for the loser of that team, for the loser of that game, because Clemson is not going to have too many opportunities playing in the ACC to play against some top competition. And Notre Dame, I don't think Notre Dame could afford to lose, can lose one game and get into the playoffs, to be honest with you. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. When we come back, NFL picks in the league with no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. Flash. number three in the league with no contract. It's guaranteed. Three games for you this week as I come in feeling good about myself. I'm rolling at 4-1-2. We're going to head down to Houston as the Texans will host the resurgent Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, well, maybe that's taking it too far. Maybe they're not resurgent. Well, the 1-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 500. So that's in Tampa Bay. But if you're a Buccaneers fan, that's resurgent. Tampa Bay coming off a good win against the New Orleans Saints. And for some reason, they're not getting any respect. Houston is a 7-point favorite. This, to me, was an easy one to take the points, take Tampa in the points. Houston cannot score. I mean, let's be honest. Houston's offense, they don't know who their quarterback is going to be from quarter to quarter, let alone game to game. Mallet, Hoyer, whoever, it doesn't matter. They're having trouble scoring. DeAndre Hopkins is banged up. You'll have no Arian Foster, at least until next week, possibly. So I don't see Houston winning by. This is a field goal game, as far as I'm concerned. Again, Tampa Bay coming in should be feeling good about itself. Jameis Winston, Vince Jackson, Mike Evans, Doug Martin, if he could just hold on to the ball. I like Tampa Bay with the points. I'm looking for this game to be like a 24-21, 28-24, that type of game, 20-17. This will be a tough fourth quarter field goal game. This game will not be decided. This game, I mean, take the points. To me, it was just easy money if you're going that direction. Game number two, we head to Carolina as the Panthers host the lifeless New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees, of course, is out. Jarius Byrd is out. And the Saints are 9.5-point underdogs, rightfully and rightfully so. Normally, I would say there's no way that you would make Carolina that big of a favor over anybody because they don't score a lot of points. The Saints are that bad. I can see Carolina getting a special teams touchdown. I can see Carolina getting a defensive touchdown. Carolina has an excellent defense, so they're going to be on short. Carolina's offense is going to be operating with short fields all day long. The Saints have no chance in this game. Forget about winning this game. Carolina absolutely will cover it. Will cover in this game. So I'm taking Carolina with the points. This game has 24-10, 17-3. 14-0 written all over it. The Saints are a dead doorknob right now, and I hope they're enjoying. Hope the fans enjoy that Super Bowl 2009 because it'll be a long time for the Saints are contenders again anytime soon. Game number three: Buffalo, Miami. Miami looking for its first home win of the season, coming off that embarrassing home opening loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Miami, for whatever reason, and probably because they're at home, is a 2.5-point favorite. I'm sorry, I'm not only taking Buffalo to cover, I'm taking Buffalo to win outright. I think Buffalo is just a better football team. Buffalo is coming off a tough loss against the New England Patriots, in which their offense got cooking in the fourth quarter. I like Buffalo to outright win this game. Miami, of course, Brandon Albert is out for the Dolphins. I don't trust the Dolphins offense right now. I don't trust their defense right now, as hard as that may sound. You're already hearing talk about the Dodgers Sue freelancing, doing his own thing. Again, free agent, new system. A lot of times, these free agents have a tough time, no matter how talented they are, fitting into a new system. So give me Buffalo with the points. Give me Buffalo outright. I'll take New Orleans. I'll take Carolina outright with the points. And I will take Tampa for the second straight week to cover, not the win, but to cover and cover. Tampa Bay was good to me last week with the tie. I expect them to possibly win the game, but I'm going to play it safe and say they will just cover and cover and lose a close game to the Houston Texans. That is a week three picks in the league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back on this edition of 12 on Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. Welcome back to this latest edition of 12 of Sports Talk features Surreal Joe Quinn, week three NFL picks. Again, that Tampa game, let me not make Tampa out to be the 85 Bears, but they're playing the Texans. I mean, the Texans, have you seen the Texans this year? That's easy. I mean, easy. Easy pickings, as far as I'm concerned. I stayed away from the three double-digit favorite games. There are three games that are at least 14, that are at least 10 points or more. Jacksonville, New England, Seattle, Chicago, and there was one more I can't think of right now off the top of my head. There was three of them that I stayed away from them because I think those games are going to get ugly fast. Those particular games. Seattle's going to kill Chicago. I mean, they are going to kill Chicago. Martellus Bennett might not play. It's probable he'll probably play, but he's nicked up. Of course, no Cutler. Alshon Jeffrey is out. They're walking into a hornet's nest. Cam Chancellor will be back. Plays he'll play, but just the emotion, just him being back with the crowd, first home game of the season for Seattle. That's going to get ugly fast. Jacksonville, New England. I almost got on that, but then I thought otherwise. Like, come on, this is at New England. I know Jacksonville might not be as bad as I thought they were going to be. They actually might be decent this year. I'm talking like 5-11. A competitive 4-12. If there's such thing as a competitive 4-12, they might not. New England. Look for New England to certainly cover in terms of that particular game. A couple of good games. Cincinnati and Baltimore. I think Baltimore's defense is a mess, and I don't think Cincinnati is quite as good as their 2-0 record. So that'll be an interesting game. Cincinnati recently has had Baltimore's number. I think Baltimore is due for a big performance today. Atlanta and Dallas. You have to like Atlanta in that game. Dallas, again, you can only lose so many players. Baltimore. Atlanta will have a full week to be able to dissect Brandon Weeden and some of his tendencies and stuff, that things that he doesn't do well. So I expect him to come back down to earth coming off the performance last week against Philly, in which he played well after Romo got hurt. Even though the game is in Dallas, I expect Atlanta to win that game. Detroit, Denver. It's a Sunday night game. Not a great Sunday night game. Probably clearly the worst out of the first 3 weeks as far as Sunday night games. But still, Detroit desperately needs a win at 0-2. Cannot fall behind. They can't start off 0-3 with it being in the same division as the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that's like that. That's how your season ends quickly if you're Detroit Lions. So expect them to come out with a pretty good performance. Still not sold on Denver. We know what Denver is. Denver is a great defensive team who offensively has some troubles. I mean, like Peyton Manning, they haven't been able to protect Peyton Manning. They haven't been able to run the ball this year. So be very interesting to watch Denver face off against a pretty against face off against a Detroit team that desperately needs that win. Green Bay, Kansas City. Green Bay is a 7-point favorite in that game. It's at Green Bay. We know Green Bay has been lethal at home in the last two to three years, but again, they match up pretty well. Kansas City matches up pretty well against Green Bay. Would not be surprised. If I were picking that game, I would pick Kansas City to cover, to be honest with you. I think that's going to be a very close game. Jamal Charles can hurt the Packers. Kansas City's defense can get to the quarterback. I think that could be the game of the week as far as from a competitive standpoint. So I stayed away from that game because Green Bay has been so dominant at home. Even in a close game against Seattle, they still won by 10 points. When I don't think they played great. So those are a couple of games of note. Le'Veon Bell returns for the Steelers. A number of injuries. I already mentioned Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler. For Philadelphia, Kiko Alonso's out. Michael Kendricks is out. Ryan Shazier for Pittsburgh is out. Brandon Pettigrew is out. Aaron Foster, of course, is out. You got Dwayne Allen and Darius Butler for the Colts are both out. So a few injuries of note. Green Bay, you expect Eddie Lacy and Davante Adams to both play. Both listed as questionable, but they have practice at some point over the course of this week. So that's normally a sign that the player that they're going to play limited practice, but still they practiced for that Monday night game against the Kansas City Chiefs, which should be a very good game. Of course, we began the program talking about the New York Mets, who won their first division title since 2006. The Mets have done it with pitching and with Cespedes. Cespedes was the shot, the proverbial shot in the arm that the Mets needed. And everybody, it's been contagious. I mean, Cespedes, not only Cespedes, Daniel Murphy, David Wright, Lucas Duda. So all the Mets of late have been hitting. But Cespedes is the move that, when you look back on the season, that changed the whole fortune of the New York Mets season. He should get, regardless of the fact that he did not play the first half of the season in the American League, in the National League, he should get strong, get absolutely strong consideration for MVP. Now, Bryce Harper was going to be the National League MVP. There's no two ways about it. It will be Bryce Harper, and that's it. But Cespedes was great this year. And again, the Mets would not be in the postseason. If that trade doesn't get made, they would not be in the postseason. Like, that's how big of an impact he had on that team. The flip side of that is the fact that you had the Washington Nationals who still have an opportunity to finish under 500, to be honest with you, or struggle to finish 500. A team that was favored to get to the World Series, a team that came in with all the pitching, and a team that just fell flat on their face. I don't think Matt Williams will be the manager next year. If I'm the Washington Nationals, I wouldn't bring him back next year. I think they need a new voice. I think they need some. I don't get the sense the players respond or respect him. That's just me talking from outside in. So there could be a number of changes. One change that should not be made to the Nationals is this idea of getting rid of Steven Strasburg. I don't know if you've watched Steven Strasburg over the last month, but he's been spectacular. Okay, you're gonna lose. I mean, you're not gonna keep both Strasburg and Jordan Zimmermann. We understand that, but you have to keep Strasburg. You'll probably lose Zimmermann. Zimmerman's like 2 or 3 years older than Strasburg. You keep Steven Strasburg. There's no two ways about it. You do whatever it takes to keep Strasburg. I don't care. Boris has always been a pain in the ass. That's what he is. That's Scott Boris. And I don't like this idea that, again, that you can afford to lose Strasburg and both of them, Zimmerman and Strasburg, is just insane. So anybody who thinks that, who thinks that way, you keep Strasburg. If you want to let Zimmerman go, then so be it. But Strasburg could be a 20-game winner next year. I mean, he has that kind of stuff. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 12 of the Sports Talk featuring Sir Gerald Quinn. I will see you next time. Have a great, great rest of the weekend.